Welcome back to the MCP. My name is Rick Alexander. You can follow me at RickAlexander_ on Instagram if you'd like to interact with me or the show. And then also, if you're getting beneficial information from the podcast, it would mean the world to me if you could share it with a friend or take some time to head to iTunes and give us a 5-star review. That's kind of the system that's in place so that we can keep this show free. We just need more and more people to find out about it. That being said, I know that you aren't obligated to spend this time with me, and I do appreciate it, so I will continue to work as hard as I possibly can on this message. That, I promise you. Speaking of the message, I just dropped my new book over the weekend. It's called Ambitious Heroes and Heartache, a book about what it means to be human. If you're interested in reading that, you can get the hard copy. You can also get digital download at rickalexander.com and pick up a copy today. And you know, my path to writing and finding that craft has been really complicated, and it's taken me a long time to get to the point where I really truly just allow myself to pursue meaningful work with my life. And in light of that, I decided that today I would share one of the questions that I asked myself when I was, I guess, just trying to figure out an authentic path forward in life. I know by posing the right questions, we certainly increase our chances at getting to the right answer. So without further ado, on to the show. Who do you become if you decide not to pursue a meaningful life or meaningful work with your life? I posed this question on Instagram recently, and I was almost taken aback by the lack of interest in the question. And while I don't expect it to kill on a platform that most celebrates underbutt and cat memes, I was still surprised that it did reasonably unwell even for me and my platform. So I thought today that perhaps I would clarify what it is I'm talking about with this question and why I do believe it is one of the most important questions that anyone who is alive in the 21st century can ask themselves. Firstly, let's briefly cover why this is a question that we would even have to ask ourselves, or better put, that we would get to ask ourselves. Because I do believe that it's only recently that our culture has evolved to a place where for the first time in recorded history, people on a mass scale actually have the option to ask themselves a question about meaning and purpose and passion. For decades, people toiled away in factories and worked themselves through all kinds of inequality and harsh conditions so that generations later, their children would be in the unique position of benefiting from so much of their hard work. Technology has lowered the barrier to entry for knowledge, and so what that means is that now the problem we're facing is one of desire and implementation. See, if you want to do something, you can, for the most part, look up the instructions for how to do anything that someone else has already done and find them. Like the tactical step-by-step instructions for how to do things is always available to us now. There are, of course, limits to our extensive opportunities. You might not be able to play in the NFL, for example, because, of course, there's still a genetic barrier to certain things. But that doesn't mean you couldn't find meaningful work in that niche or in a way that fulfilled your value system in a similar way. I just finished writing a talk the other day that I'm going to give to sports organizations beginning this week. Good luck convincing me that a pro team won't hire me for that talk or its evolved offspring. Because the point is, the factors that are limiting our ability to follow meaningful work in this day and age is based entirely on our devotion to doing, or almost entirely. I know there are certain opportunities that lie outside of the population I'm talking about, but for the vast majority of free Western citizens, that is the case. This is not to say that it might not take multiple iterations, multiple ego deaths, multiple roadblocks, multiple times falling short. But if you can bear the road long enough, it's been my experience that we always find what we earnestly seek. The road of constant evolution is always available to us. Whether we take it or not just depends on whether or not we will agree to its demands. A life of meaning often asks you to grow into the kind of person that is worthy of it. Whether that means you finally become worthy of it through action, or perhaps that just means you finally stop trying to convince yourself that you aren't worthy of the meaningful life that you're after. I know as humans, we certainly have a propensity to get stuck behind our own self-imposed limitations. And look, I know when you begin to talk about passion and meaning, it can begin to feel like you aren't super grounded when you really start letting your passions direct your thoughts, but I actually see a lot of utility in such a pursuit, as long as you appropriately take into account the downside. That is, you're willing to shoulder what your passions are asking of you, or what your values are asking of you. Sometimes it means that the road you have to travel is long. I know I'm certainly at the very beginning of my writing journey, and who knows, it may take me 10 more books to get on the bestseller list. But that's okay. Approaching a life of passion simply requires that you come to terms with the difficulty of the road that you seek. Pursuing meaningful work can also sometimes make it seem like you're shouldering a rather large amount of risk as well. But in most cases, when you take a chance and pursue a life of meaning, you aren't taking a big risk as compared to any other human that lives in an impermanent world. But the distribution of risk makes it feel uneven. So often pursuing a life of intrinsic meaning means that you have to bet on yourself. And because you're taking a chance on yourself and you aren't used to it or definitely haven't been taught to, it feels like an extreme thing to do. But the truth is, that's all it is. You haven't been taught to and it feels foreign. Over time, what you'll find is that you are most likely your safest bet all along. But regardless, what I personally like about allowing yourself to indulge with following a particular passion or craft or something that provides an inherent sense of meaning to you is that what it really does is help you set a worthwhile aim, something to get excited about in the morning, something to aspire to and work toward, something that is going to force you to become a better version of yourself in the sake of its pursuit, in between all of the monotony that we tend to fall into as people. As humans, we make the most progress when we solve meaningful problems. Essentially, meaningful problems to solve create an obstacle in life, which represents the weight that we use to make ourselves stronger. It's how we actually get better, similar to the reason that we push weight or obstacles in the gym. Our potential always requires difficulty to manifest itself. And so because this is the first time that our culture is reaching a point where we can focus on that, I do believe we owe it to ourselves to keep pushing for the next generation. We've truly never been at a point where we can focus on self-actualization, and who knows how incredible a world full of self-actualized and actively healing humans could be for people. Like, we could make this thing way better for everyone, and I believe we have an opportunity to do that. But that begins with us getting better now. When we heal ourselves and create a life of meaning, we give other people permission to do the same. The point here for this first segment of the show is that for generations, countless people have suffered for what it is that you enjoy today. In fact, there isn't a thing that you enjoy today that people haven't suffered for. And I believe we should ask that question to ourselves because for the first time, we actually can. And as a side note, the reason that gratitude is so important in this life and the reason it comes up in my message a lot is because of the above fact. It's truly the only correct standpoint, because as bad as this life can be for us sometimes, it's been far worse for lots of people throughout history. The reason we should pursue a life of meaning in the first place is so that we can continue the tradition of improving the world for whoever we all decide to bring into it. And so now to the actual question, who do you become if you don't? This is actually a question that I would encourage you to ask yourselves. It was one of the most profound and life-altering journaling prompts that I've ever done. If you use journaling as a growth tool, I would definitely recommend that you try this one. To make the question more manageable, you can even segment it out. You could think right now that you know there are some things you could do to pursue a life of meaning for yourself. Maybe that's take care of yourself better physically. Maybe that's go back to school for something you're interested in. Maybe that's even be a better family member or lover or have more grace with your partner or yourself. It's likely that you can think pretty quickly of a few things that you're not doing, but that you could or should do that would make your life much better, or at least closer to what you want it to be. Now, write in as much detail as possible, or just think about it if you aren't doing the journaling prompt, and just describe what happens if you decide not to do those things. Who do you become? What happens to your health? What happens to your relationships, your bank account, your happiness? Describe it all. What will become of your character when it doesn't have the obstacle that makes it stronger? If that's hard to figure out, ask yourself what becomes of your muscles when you don't wield them against gravity. Because we should ask ourselves these questions so that our intangibles, the soul, our character, etc., don't suffer a catabolic fate that leaves them without enough strength to act in the world properly. It's not like that's an easy thing to do. To me, a positive aim on values, the thing that gives your life meaning, is the antidote to walking around in a world without it. The reason we describe these things is, one, because it can be so easy to lie to ourselves, to convince ourselves that we're satisfied when the truth is, maybe we want more. Maybe we know life can be deeper and mean more. I know that was certainly the motivation behind my own change. The best way that I can describe it is like this deep inner knowing that things can be better or positively different in some way. And then an even deeper desire to see what happens if you begin stepping in that direction. And look, I understand that I'm somewhat casually saying that you have the right to pursue a meaningful life, and I know that everyone doesn't come from that particular school of thought. And we can have a conversation about what you truly have to do and who you truly have to become if you get serious about the path of meaning. But again, the question at this point is, what happens if you don't? I know they say that when the struggle really sets in and you feel like quitting, you should always remember why you started. But to be perfectly honest, it's always been helpful for me to remind myself of what is waiting for me if I decide not to show up for myself and do all of the things that I know that I should. I remember even going through a special operations selection course, it was always an added thought that if I didn't make it or if I decided to quit, I was relinquishing my rights to the needs of the military, essentially putting my fate entirely in the hands of someone else. And for anyone that knows me or my value system, that loss of autonomy is enough to motivate me to do, well, damn near anything. So what happens when you begin to ask yourself that question in detail is that you become uniquely aware of how too often in this life we create our own hell. The reason we have drives and feel compelled to constant improvement, whatever that means to us individually, is because those drives serve to keep us from the life that we don't want. Now, what happens when those drives are misguided is that you often see that the results don't really resonate with you. Thus, you know the drive isn't authentic. If a drive for improvement comes from your value system, its attainment will make you feel incredibly fulfilled. And this is the difference between working out because we want to look sexy for the gram and working out because doing so honors our body in a way that aligns with the life that we want for ourselves. I wonder how many people stop short of their potential simply because they've mistaken something as not for them, when the truth is, the motivation was actually just misaligned. I know that when I was an entrepreneur for the money, I found myself a bit resentful of the whole game. I hated what it was asking of me because I wasn't driven from my values. What I needed to realize is that I'm driven by beauty and impact. So given the opportunity to make something beautiful with my life and impact people's lives while doing it, now I'm willing to take on the risk. And I'm willing to bet you have similar endeavors in your life. You know you should do them, but for some reason, the results don't resonate enough to motivate you through the hard times. Again, the gym example comes to mind. Perhaps if you drew the motivation from your value system, you'd find the results are actually only part of a meaningful life. It was Nietzsche who said, "He who has a why to live for can bear almost any how." And this, ladies and gentlemen, is why you have the right to pursue meaningful work. Because life is damn tough, but you and I came at a time when we can make all of the difficulties really mean something to ourselves and to future generations. Of course, anyone who follows my work knows how much I stress the importance of knowing your own value system. This is why we teach it in the Trials course and the Clarity Academy, because your values are your individual roadmap to meaning. I've personally found that if you shy away from answering your own call, even the thought that your life could be different or better is enough to mentally pull someone apart. It's like there's a version of you that you know could exist if only you would show up for yourself when it truly mattered. And to be perfectly honest, the reason I'm so gung-ho about pursuing this kind of a life is because I found it's the only thing that's strong enough to actually motivate me to do that. I think we all have to answer that question for ourselves. One, because sometimes it's just a good idea to look at the hell you might create for yourself if you aren't mindful and directive about your actions. And secondly, because it might be the question that actually motivates you to do it. I know from experience that we can spend a lot of time in this life unconsciously sitting around and hoping that someone will come save us. But it's worth mentioning that you always have the option of replacing hope with action and then working to become that person that you've been waiting for. I love you. Hope you have an amazing week. We'll chat later on Morning Coffee.